Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. See that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's just pray as we come to God's word. Lord, we thank you for this portion of scripture. Again, we admit and acknowledge that this is your word. It comes with your authority, and we pray that you would speak to us, and that not only would we hear your voice, but you would change us and give us new desires and help us in our walk with you, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder how you are at setting priorities in your life. Trying to keep the most important thing in your life. I don't know about you, but some days I actually literally write down a list of things to do. And by the end of the day, even though they seem to be the most important things, not one of them has been done, but a whole lot of other things have been done, and perhaps things that weren't as important as the things that were on my list. And it's so easy to be distracted from those things that are important, isn't it? It's so easy to be tempted by other things, so easy to be diverted, so easy to procrastinate and put those important things back in our minds. It's so easy for the important thing not to be our highest priority. And this is what we've been thinking about these first 2 or 3 weeks of this new year. On the first Sunday of the new year, I spoke to you about Mary and Martha, and Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus says to her that she has done the necessary thing. The one thing that was necessary was to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Mary was busy preparing, but Martha was busy preparing, but Mary was commended because she sat at the feet of Jesus. And I was encouraging us to do that one thing that's necessary. The most important thing, which is to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus, listen to his teaching, and put it into practice in our lives. And in a similar vein, last week we looked at Isaiah 26, verse 8b, where it says, "Your name and your remembrance are the desire of my soul." And so we spoke about emotions and longings, our motivation. We reminded ourselves that we do the things that we want to do. Quite obviously. And often the things that we want to do aren't the things that God wants us to do. And so we need to have our desires changed, our motivation changed, that we might want to sit humbly at the feet of Jesus and obey him. To want to be there. To have a motivation to walk closely with Jesus that's strong enough to make a difference in our lives to the things that still challenge us from our old way of thinking. And today, we're going to look at the same topic, but from a different angle. We're going to look at it from the angle of our minds, our thinking. If we want to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him and follow him, we will need to use our minds, our brains. Doing the one thing necessary, it does involve our desire and our feelings, but it also involves our minds. Let me remind you of that verse that we read earlier. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Do you remember the kids? What's next? With all your, not next, soul, then it's mind, and then it's strength. So one of the things that we need to love God with is our mind. He does want our affections and our desires to be different to the world, but he wants us to think differently to the world. And let me remind you as we come to this topic that God sees inside our minds. In Revelation 2:23, Jesus is speaking about the church at Thyatira, and he says, I am he who searches mind and heart. I remember Michelle Wills, when she was here, was one of the things she was most gobsmacked about is that God knew what was going on in her mind. And it's true, isn't it? What an amazing thing it is that God doesn't just see what we do, but he knows what's happening in our minds. Now, our text today is chapter 3 and verse 2 of Colossians. Almost every translation uses the word mind, although I do know that the King James Version doesn't. But I've looked it up in the Greek, and it does. It's definitely about our minds. It says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. This is what the scripture's teaching us. This is what Paul is telling the church at Colossae. But what does it mean? What does it mean for us today? How does it help us to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to and follow him? The first thing I want to say is that you must have a renewed mind. We must have a renewed mind. The text is that we must set our minds on things that are above. A mind that's focused, that its principal priority is to think about eternal things. This can only happen, and this is probably the most important thing I'm going to say this morning, this can only happen if we are born again. We can only set our hearts and our minds upon spiritual things, upon heavenly things, if we are born from above. If we're born of the Spirit, is another way of putting it. If we're alive in Christ. If we're saved. If we're Christians. These are all the same thing. You'll see, if you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18 onwards, a description of those who are not Christians. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. See the mind thing? They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonouring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Explains that people who do not put their trust and their faith in God are standing against the truth, suppressing the truth, pushing the truth down, and worshipping other things rather than the Creator, worshipping created things, the things of this earth, rather than the Lord in heaven. If you're in Romans, you might like to just turn to chapter 8, and I'm going to read verse 7. Chapter 8 and verse 7. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. So there is no point thinking about setting our hearts and our minds on heavenly things unless we are born again of God's Spirit. So the first priority is that we need to come to God and be made alive in Him. The natural mind, the fleshly mind, is hostile to God. And the non-Christian, therefore, is unable to set their mind on heavenly spiritual things. But God changes that in the person that's born again. The spirit is made alive, the conscience is cleansed, the heart is given new desires, behaviour is changed, and the mind is renewed. They're all interrelated things. A few of them only happen right at the beginning, but most of those things I've mentioned are ongoing, a gradual process for every Christian. Made alive obviously happens once. Our conscience being cleansed is something that continues to happen. The heart giving new desires continues to happen. Our behaviour changing continues to progress. And our mind being renewed is a process. Our mind being set right with God and lined up with Him. They're all part of a process of what we call sanctification. But the changes might be slow and gradual, but they're real nonetheless. And there'll be evidence in our lives as God changes the way that we think. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul is talking to Christians. Look at verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ. There's an if right at the beginning. In other words, if you're a Christian, this is what you need to do. Verse 3 reminds us that they're Christians. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In fact, verse 3 makes it plain that that's the reason why our mind should be set on the things above. Because we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. We don't expect a caterpillar to live and behave like a butterfly until it's been transformed. And we shouldn't expect people who aren't Christians to think about heavenly things in the way that Christians should or do. They need to be reborn and transformed by God's Spirit. So let's just ask the question. I know everybody here, but I just want to ask the question again. Are you a Christian? Don't try to set your mind on spiritual things until you have looked to the Lord and turned to Him in faith. Don't try and live out the life of a Christian until He has transformed you from within. Because a Christian is someone who's been changed from the inside out. Other religions tell us to do this and to do that, and then we might be closer to God. Well, God says, no, I start from the inside. It's about faith and trust and belief. And then that works out in our lives in the way that we live, the way that we think, the way that we behave. The work of the changing of the mind is a work of the Spirit of God. Let me turn again to Romans chapter 5 this time. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to read a bit more of the section that I read just one verse from. So chapter 8 from verse 5 to 11. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, talking to Christians, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So the changing of our mind is to do with the work of the Spirit in our lives. We can't expect our minds to be transformed unless we know the Spirit of God at work in our hearts. Equally, if you think you're a Christian and your mind is not changing, and your life is not changing, then you need to really ask, is God at work in my heart or not? Because surely if he's at work, then there are changes. They might be slow, they might be slower than you'd like. You might be frustrated because you feel like you go so far and then sin creeps in and you're backwards and forwards. But God is doing his work. There should be evidence that God is doing his work in your heart. So the first thing, you must have a renewed mind. Now the main point I want to bring to you this morning is that you must have a determined mind. A determined mind. The command of Colossians 3:2 to set our minds on things above is honestly a call to war. We can't underestimate the challenge that it is as Christians to set our mind on the things of God and on heavenly things. Your mind is a battlefield. Paul writes it like as a choice of priorities. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And if you're a Christian, you'll know that this is a battle. That there is a battle for your mind. You're so, if you're like me, so easily distracted, so easily tempted, that it's hard to focus on the eternal spiritual things. Now, some of you know we've got this new dog, Millie. Now, when she's at home, if you get her where there's not many distractions, she appears to be very obedient. You call a command, she'll sit. You get her to lay down, she'll lay down. You can call her to come and she'll come. You rattle the food tin and she's there. She seems wonderful. But if you go outside where there's distractions and temptations, well, you might as well be whistling into the wind. She's all over the place, doing all sorts of things, completely distracted, and you feel embarrassed because she doesn't do what you say. But isn't that like our lives? We're so easily distracted and so easily tempted that we lose the most important thing, which is to set our minds and hearts on the things of God. Now, let me just clarify what I think this verse means. Where it says, set your mind on things that are above, it's not not on things of the earth. It's not an absolute command that we must never think about anything that's to do with this earth. I don't think it's saying that we can't think about what's for tea. It's saying a priority in the way that you think must be the things of God. It's not saying that every Christian needs to be someone that the whole time is sitting in a study, studying commentaries. That's not what it means by... obviously, that is a way of doing it, and we certainly need academic experts who devote their lives to using their minds in spiritual ways to help us to understand the Bible. I'm not underplaying that at all. But I think in the context of the chapter, it's just reminding us that we need to set our priority of our minds on the things of God rather than the things of the earth. It's not like a student in an exam being told, right, you've got 2 hours. Do not think about anything else. Think about that exam. We're not being taught to like that. It's more like a scientist who is devoting their life to trying to solve some particular problem. Let's say finding a cure for motor neuron disease. Someone who's absolutely captivated. They're a scientist. They want to use every faculty that they've got to try and come up with a cure for motor neuron disease. That's the sort of thing we're talking about. A priority in our life. That doesn't mean that that person doesn't think about what they have for breakfast, but it means that the direction of their life is all about that. And I think God's saying the same to us here, that the direction of our thinking should be upon spiritual things, upon heavenly realities, not upon the things of the earth. You know, there's an eye condition, I can't remember what it's called, where you lose your peripheral vision a bit. Is it tunnel vision? I'm not sure if that's the right word. Yeah. So the outside is a bit blurry, but the centre is clear. And so what we're saying is, other things, the things of the earth, there's an issue, there's a concern for them, but they're peripheral things. The thing that we've got to stay in focus is the things of God. Make your central, primary commitment to the things of God. Other things are worthy of thought, but they take second place. It's back to the thing that Jim reminded us of, was it last week or the week before? Seek first God's kingdom, and those other things will sort themselves out. God will make sure that your needs are met. Your food, your clothing and stuff, that will be dealt with. Don't invest all your energies in those things. Focus your minds on the kingdom of God. Have you heard it said? I know I've said this before, but have you heard it said, some people say that they can be so heavenly minded that you can be of no earthly use. It's almost like a criticism of someone who spends so much time with God or studying God's word. It's wrong, isn't it? How could you be so spiritually minded that you could be of no earthly good? The more spiritually minded we are, the more good that we will do and the more fruit that there will be in our lives here on earth. Now, the passage reminds us, it's like putting on a new self and taking off our old self. You know, people that come to our house, if perhaps they come in, I don't know, to spend an afternoon with us, or maybe if they're coming for a few days, they always bring spare clothes because they know that we get them muddy. We go out with the dog, we'll go somewhere and we'll end up absolutely clotted in mud, or at the beach and the kids will end in the water. You need to bring some spare clothes. And that's what we're talking about. It's like getting changed. If you read the whole passage, you'll see that the whole passage in Colossians 3 is about getting rid of one lot of clothes, all the old way of thinking, all the old things that I did, and putting on a new set, all the things that God wants us to think like and be like and do. And we need to remember that this is a battle. It's a battle to make the right decisions in our lives. It's easy to set our mind on earthly things. No effort at all is needed to indulge yourself in worldly thinking. Sit in front of the TV, get yourself some things to eat, and you will be filled with all sorts of things that will indulge you in your earthly lusts and thinking. Go onto Facebook, spend your life on Facebook, and you will, without any effort at all, while away hours indulging yourself in all sorts of strange things. I'm not saying that Facebook can't have a good side, I'm not saying that at all, and the same with TV. But it doesn't. What I'm saying is it doesn't mean to take any effort. Go onto the internet, browse the internet. There's no effort involved in finding things that are not helpful to you and thought patterns and ways of thinking that are not good for us. It's so easy to draw our attention away from the most important things, the things of God. And again, let me say, the internet can be a wonderful tool to find out things about God, to learn from Him, to listen to sermons. I'm just saying it's so easy, though, to fall into the habit of just satisfying our earthly cravings and not our building up our mindset in heavenly things. We need to fight the battle. We need to take care of what we watch. We need to be careful about the things that we fill our mind with. And before you say, and it's a very, some people might say, well, how can you control your thoughts? Do we really have control of our thoughts? Are they not something that we don't have control of? Well, yes, we do. At least we have control of what we do with our thoughts. That's why it says, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. What a verse that would be to have in your mind when you're watching TV, when you're on the internet. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. Make that thought obey Christ. So if you have a thought that's really just indulging yourself in earthly pleasures and lusts and stuff, ask the Lord to help you to crush that thought and make it obedient to Christ. But you're not going to dwell upon that thought because that's not the best thing for you. And positively, take hold and captive of those thoughts that are most beneficial to you too. So, there's a great battle. I just realised I've gone across the page, but this is the heart. So, you know, horses when they race, they have blinkers on, don't they? Have you seen them? To keep their eyes focused on the way that they're going, not to be worried about what's going on behind them or beside them. This is another picture of what the Lord wants us to do, to prioritise, to set our hearts and minds on the things ahead. The language, setting our mind on the things ahead, reminds us that we've got to be determined. This is not something that's going to happen by chance. Following this command is not just about following a whole set of do's and don'ts. In fact, if you look at the previous chapter of Colossians, that is exactly what Paul is saying. He's saying at the end of chapter 2, let no one disqualify you. Don't let people pass judgment on you on the questions of food and drink and regard of festival or new moon Sabbaths. There's all sorts of don't do this and don't touch that and don't eat the other. He's saying it's not about that. It's not about a whole load of rules. It's about having your heart set on godly things. It's about making changes. It's about making choices. It's about using our mind to look at our lives and make changes that please God. We need to allow our minds and therefore our decisions to make concrete changes in our lives. You won't make a change if you're struggling with something that needs to change in your life. You're not going to make the change unless you deliberately think about it and make the decision to change. We can't sit at Jesus' feet like Mary without our minds being directed to changes that need to be made. And I want to encourage you, in your own time, but do it now as well, just glance down chapter 3, the section that I read, because you'll see there practical examples of what he means. This isn't sort of disassociated with those first few verses. He's saying, set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. And then he explains what he means by that. There's a whole lot of things to get rid of. So, for example, he says, put to death what's earthly, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, wanting what other people have got, which is idolatry. And instead, he said, you must put them all away in verse 8. Again, as a list, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge. And when you get to verse 12, the tone changes. He's starting to talk not about the stuff that you need to put off, the change of clothes. He's saying, what's the new stuff you need to put on? Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing one another, and he's talking about forgiveness. I want to encourage you to meditate on this passage, to put your mind to work on this passage, and ask God to speak to you, that your mind might be set on doing the spiritual things, the heavenly things, not the things of the earth, the old life, the battle that still goes on in our lives. And let's be honest, here's the battle. This is why we need to be determined. Like we said earlier on, the natural mind, the fleshly mind, is hostile to God. And as Christians, we've not got rid of that completely. There'll be a day when we will. We'll talk about that in a minute. But at the moment, our sinful nature, we still carry it around with us. And in Romans 7, that's the description when Paul is talking about his desire to do what's right. Let's just go there. Romans 7, 21. Romans 7, verse 21. This is that the summary. You could read the whole chapter, but this is the summary at the end. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he comes to the conclusion, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. There's his battle. In his mind he wants to serve the Lord of God, and in his body there is a fleshly desire that wants to follow sin. There's a battle set before. And between our salvation and the day in which we're glorified, when Christ comes back and we're with him and perfect, we're going to carry on this battle of fighting against our earthly desires. But we urge to keep up the fight. I quoted in a prayer earlier, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, where it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we need to get our minds thinking. We need to work out what stuff in our lives needs taking off, and what things about God's character need to be put on. What things are we struggling with that we need more of in our lives? Do we need more compassion? Do we need more forgiveness? Do we need more meekness? Do we need more kindness and patience? This is what it means to be heavenly minded. This is what it means to set our mind on heavenly things. It doesn't mean that we go off into a monastery and we go and study for years. Not for most people. It means that we're struggling in this battle to live a holy life when our earthly desires are so far from that. Take captive every thought and make it obedience to Christ. Lastly then, just briefly, I want to suggest that you must have a hopeful mind. A hopeful mind. It's just a brief point, and it's based on verse 3 of Colossians 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then in verse 4 it says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Firstly, this is a challenge. He says, Christ, who is your life? I wonder if you've ever heard someone saying, oh, my life revolves around, fill the blank in. Or welcome to my life. And they're saying, look, these are the things that are occupying my mind. Maybe it's a thing about their family or their job. Just during the week, I heard someone talking about Theresa May like that, and I understand what they're saying. They said, look, she's not got children. It's her and her husband. And she's absolutely devoted to this job. She's not someone that when she leaves office has got all sorts of connections with high business. She's not likely to go off and be a director of a load of companies and make loads of money later on. This is it.
her life revolves around being a politician. And the poor woman, I don't know how she manages to cope with all the pressures at the minute. That's her life. Your life might be about your family, it might be about your health, it might be about your house, or your car, or your hobby, or your sport. Do you remember that quote, Bill Shankly? Some people think football is a matter of life and death. I assure you, it's much more serious than that, he said. That's what his life was about. Paul's assumption, if you're a Christian, verse 4, is that Christ is your life. That you could say, my life is about Jesus Christ. That's the assumption that Paul makes. That's a challenge for us. So, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's also an encouragement. When Christ appears, you also will appear with him in glory. This is the end result. If you set your mind on the things of God, then one day you will have the thing that you've set your mind on. Because we're told that there'll be a day when Jesus comes to be glorified, and we also, who are trusting in him, will be glorified with him. The sin will be gone. So while it's a struggle now, and while it's a battle every day to fight against our sinful nature and with our minds to turn our attention and make choices and decisions to follow God, it's hard work. But there'll be a day when that's rewarded by being brought into the presence of the Lord Jesus and being completely glorified. You will get your desire of your heart. You will get what your mind has been set on, because God will get rid of the sin. And you will be like him, the scriptures say, completely free. Your hearts will be in eternal joy because you've got the thing that you desire, the one thing that was needful to sit at the feet of Jesus, to become like him, will one day become a reality because our sin is gone. Let me just close by reading Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17 onward. This is sort of a parallel passage in Ephesians. Just writes the same thing in a different way. I just want you to listen to the words. Ephesians 4 verse 17 onwards. It says, now, this I say and testify to the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our desire, as we acknowledge our sinful passions and pleasures and indulgences, Lord, how we say today, Lord, we want to put that behind us. We want to have a passion. We want to set our hearts and minds upon the Lord Jesus. We don't want to live any longer in the old way, the old self, but we want to be renewed in our minds. Help us, Lord, we pray, with the specifics of this in our lives. Please burn into our hearts and minds now one or two things that you want us to actually do, to actually change in our lives. Please, Lord, speak to us, we pray. We're ready to hear. We want to fight this battle. We don't want to give in to our old indulgent nature. We want to be changed. We want to have a new desire and passion for you. We want to choose the things that please you. And Lord, it will be different for each one of us. So I pray that you would speak to us and thank you that you have all the power that's necessary to grant us for life and for godliness in this present world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day.